Tomorrow, January 6th, is the fourth anniversary of the attack on the U.S. Capitol, when a mob of Donald Trump supporters stormed the building trying to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick was in the middle of it and got soaked with pepper spray. He collapsed that night and died the following day. NPR's Tom Dreisbach visited his family.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Just inside the front door of the Sicknick's house, you can't miss it, is a small table filled with reminders and memories of Brian.
And this one, we got all this, oh my God.
His mom, Gladys, showed me around. She had three sons who all grew up in this house. Brian was the youngest.
Oh, this is all his stuff that when he was a kid.
Oh, to mommy, it says.
There's the mementos you'd find in the scrapbooks of a lot of proud parents, all next to awards from national leaders for Brian's service in the military and on January 6th.
That flag is from Arlington when they buried him.
Oh, wow.
And that's the gold medal.
This is the Congressional Gold Medal.
We have all kinds of medals and plaques and declarations, but what we don't have is Brian.
That's Brian's dad, Charlie. The Sicknick family has been dealing with the loss of Brian for 4 years now.
It was almost like a little mini-me, so to speak.
Craig Sicknick is Brian's oldest brother. There's a 10-year age gap. And he remembers the little brother who loved to tag along to the Jersey Shore.
It's kind of funny. I know he looked up to me. And of course, as time went on, I started looking up to him. It's like, wow, look at all the stuff he's done. You know?
First, there was Brian's service in the National Guard. He deployed to Saudi Arabia and Kyrgyzstan. But he always wanted to be a cop. And in 2008, he got a job.
And then how did you feel when he joined the Capitol Police?
Oh, we thought it was wonderful.
Happy for him. Very happy for him because we figured Capitol Police, if you're going to be in law enforcement, this is a pretty safe place to be. Didn't work out, you know.
For the Sicknick family, the memory of January 6th is still right there, not even below the surface. Craig was texting with Brian that day. After the worst of the riot, Brian texted that he'd been pepper sprayed and his clothes were soaked with the stuff, along with the smell of weed from the crowd of rioters. But he was okay. Then, not long after, the family got another message. Brian had collapsed in the Capitol. He was at the hospital, non-responsive. They started rushing from New Jersey down to D.C.
So we're driving down, and on the New Jersey Turnpike, we start getting calls from the press, offering their condolences and asking for our initial opinions. So that's how we learned my brother was dead.
It took months, but the D.C. medical examiner later said that Brian Sicknick died from two strokes. Officially, natural causes. But the medical examiner added, all that transpired on January 6th played a role in his condition. Sicknick's family blames the stress and trauma of the riot.
Do you hold Trump personally responsible for Brian's death?
Absolutely.
Certainly. Yes, definitely.
Brian was a Trump supporter, but Trump never contacted the family to offer his condolences. A spokesperson for the Trump team did not answer our question about why. Before the riot, the Sicknicks were not very public or political, and that's one way this experience changed them. They started doing interviews. They went to the sentencing for the man who assaulted Brian with pepper spray, Julian Cater. They wanted to stand up and speak to the court about how Brian's death had affected them.
When we were sitting in the courtroom waiting, he came in an orange jumpsuit, and I'm like, oh my God, you know. So every time I said his name, I looked at him and he put his head down.
Wow.
Yeah, it was scary to do, but I knew it had to be done.
Why?
Just had to tell people.
Cater was sentenced to 6 years in prison. And in the courtroom, it felt like facts mattered. But in politics, and even with friends, conspiracy theories were everywhere. Charlie says he heard from people. Didn't the police let the rioters in the building? Was it really so bad?
I try not to associate with people who are Trump people. And I have lifelong friends that I don't associate with anymore because of what happened. You know, to them, it's not a big deal because it wasn't their son, you know.
Craig says the experience of people he knew denying reality changed him, made him get into a lot more arguments, especially on social media.
I'm not nice. I used to be nice, used to be decent. I don't tolerate it anymore.
You've got a lot of anger now, it sounds like.
Oh,
Craig,
big time.
Yeah.
You know, I turn into a much angrier, crankier person. People don't like me, I don't care.
But the Sicknicks did care a lot about the 2024 election. They took action. Craig and Gladys both went to the Democratic National Convention. They actively supported Vice President Kamala Harris. Gladys says it felt like keeping active helped her cope, at least for a while.
Just recently is when I've gotten crazy in my head with this stuff, really. And then this election.
What do you mean, crazy?
Just, you know, I cry just because.
When Trump won the election, the Sicknicks were stunned.
I went to sleep hoping for the best. I woke up Wednesday morning, turned on the phone, and said,
sick to your stomach.
Yeah, it took me an extra 2 hours to get to work because I just couldn't get moving. I was depressed enough that it's like, do I even bother anymore?
What I'm very upset about that might happen is that he's going to let all these people out of jail. It's just not right.
Trump has promised to pardon January 6th defendants on his first day in office, but hasn't given specifics. A spokesperson for the Trump team said the administration would pardon people they claim were, quote, denied due process and unfairly prosecuted. Last year, Trump said he was open to pardoning people convicted of assaulting police, which might include the man who assaulted Brian. Craig says he expects Trump to whitewash the truth of January 6th. But even in all the pain, they've also found good people. There are the Capitol police officers, Brian's former coworkers, who still check in on them. The random gas station attendant, who gives his condolences.
People we met on our honeymoon 55 years ago. We haven't been in touch since, but she sent this quilt with, you know, Brian's picture on it, so.
Oh my goodness, so it must feel like at least some people reached out and still remembered and thought of you.
There's a lot of good people out there.
And the Sicknicks are so proud to be Brian's father, mother, and brother. They show me their metal bracelets they all got in memory of Brian. And then Gladys rolls up her sleeve.
And then I did this too.
What's that?
Brian's shield.
Oh, it's a tattoo you got with Brian's shield on your forearm.
Yeah. You're generally not tattoo people. I was amazed when she got that done.
You don't often hear of people getting their first tattoo in their 70s. Gladys told me it was partly because the metal bracelet kind of irritated her wrist. But when it feels like people are no longer interested in Brian's sacrifice on January 6th, the bracelets, the tattoo, all the other mementos seem even more important and a way to feel like his memory is just a little bit closer. Tom Dreisbach, NPR News.